Okay. Are you ready? Say, Father.
Father.
I want to know you more.
I want to experience your presence.
I want the reality
of this Father's Day
to be a celebration to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. I heard loud and clear this morning, Happy Father's Day to my Heavenly Father. And as I was going forward with that thought, I said to the Lord, you know, I automatically get a father figure that pounces into my head, and it's always the natural. And he impacted me by saying, remember in John 17, so that's where we're going. John 17. Chapter 1. I mean, verse 1, not chapter. Chapter 17, verse 1. And, you know, we associate fathers in the natural, but really, the eternal Father is not only our Lord's Father, he's the Father of our spirit. And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, you'll recognize that the Heavenly Father knew us before we were born. He knew Jesus before he was born. So he knew you and me before I was born. And before you were born. Before you entered your mother's womb, Jesus and the Father had already a relationship with you and I. Yeah. That shakes the brains, doesn't it? He also asked your permission to come into this realm. And I could prove it by scripture, but that's not the point this morning. You see, we live in an earth suit while we're in the earth. We live in a heavenly suit when we're in the heavens. And that suit came first. So your spirit man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, St. Paul says you're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So say it. I'm made up of three parts.
I'm made up of three parts.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit, soul, and body.
My spirit is like my papa.
My spirit is like my papa.
Invisible. In this realm.
In this realm.
Unless God opens my eyes.
Unless God opens my eyes.
Cool, right? Yeah. How many have ever seen in the realm of the spirit? Put your hand up. Okay. How many have seen spirits? Thank you. A few days ago, I was pressed to go back and to ponder a little bit more. Because you see, in Jesus' prayer, there's an awakening that he doesn't miss the mark. How many know Jesus got all his prayers answered? Not some, all.
Amen.
Why? Because he was the firstborn son. Firstborn son. You and I might be the 50,000 born, doesn't matter the number, but we're also in the image and likeness of the firstborn. So watch what he says. When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. I'm using the Amplified. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Can you personalize it? Father, the hour is come. glorify me and exalt and honor and magnify me, so that I may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Just as you granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. So now, Jesus is not just putting number one in space, but he's also including those he has been given. Are we a gift from our Father to his firstborn son? Yes, we are. Verse 3 gives you quite a victory. He points this out kind of out of the blue. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with an understanding you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Now he's talking about himself, as well as the Father of his Spirit. So who's really celebrating Father's Day today? You and I, recognizing our Creator, our Messiah, the one that gave up his life so that we could come to life. The anointed one, the firstborn from the dead. Amen? Verse 4 says, I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Wow. Now I know your job ain't done and mine ain't either. But you know what? So far, I can say that I'm doing as best I know to make sure that I complete the task ahead of me and to do what he's called me to do. Why? I want to complete the work that you gave me to do. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment and take a chance with this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, you sent me here in this realm, just like Jesus. You gave me a body to live in. And I know you are my Heavenly Father. And I've been given a job to do. I want to complete it by grace and by your favor. And I don't want to say, when I stand before you, I quit halfway. I want to make it to the finish line. And you will say to me, good job. Well done, my sons and daughters. How many felt a stirring in their belly as they said that prayer? Put your hand up. Why is it stirring inside? Because you see, the truth will resound inside of us as it vibrates our inner man. Amen. And it shakes us a little. The intent is to verify that you are chosen by him. You didn't choose me, he said. I chose you. And I could go on. Amen? Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. Woo-hoo. Were you present with him before the world existed? Yes. When he created all the spirits, you and I were the part of that corporate body of Christ. And he released us into this earth, just like he released Jesus into this earth, for such a time as... Why? Because you and I have a work to do, corporately. We need each other.
How many of you would like to walk without the right leg? Just one leg missing. How would you like it? We have many veterans today that have had the loss of whatever part of their bodies. Some of them, their whole minds have been damaged. Why? Because they're in a disability. And we need to be able to see, you and I are in a disability sometimes because we've got a part of the missing body that's missing out. And we're trying to function without a right leg or a right arm or whatever. So every part of the body is important. You could check it out, 1 Corinthians 12. Every part of the body is important. Amen. Every individual has been called by God to do a work. And you can't do the work of your neighbor. You can pitch hit. You can intercede. You can pray for them. But you can't do their job. Amen? Verse 6. I have manifested your name. I could change that word and say, I have manifested your nature. I have revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have obeyed and kept your word. Now he's talking about us. Amen? Amen. We are a part of the corporate body. We came from the Father of spirits. Jesus is still our Lord and King. Hasn't changed. He's supposed to be the head, meaning the place where all the decisions are made. If you submit. If we don't submit, we're doing our own ride, doing it our own way. And I'll tell you, you'll get there, but you're going to have a rough time. Okay? I could go on in that verse, but I want to go on. Now at last they know and understand that all you have given me belongs to you, is really and truly yours, Father. For the uttered word that you gave me, I have given them. And they have received and accepted them and have come to know positively and in reality to believe with absolute assurance that I came forth from your presence. And they have believed and are convinced that you did send me. I am praying for them, and I am not praying or requesting for the world, but for those you have given me, and for they belong to you. Why is he not praying for the world? Thank you. That's pretty intense, isn't it? When you and I get all bent out of shape because we see the world going in the wrong direction, what is Jesus looking at when he looks at the same picture? Do you think we have a distorted view? Is he bent out of shape because of this one or that one or these or them? Psalm number 2 says, God looks at the world and all the kingdoms of the world and he laughs. What you and I should be doing is the same. Laughing. Yeah. You never saw that?
No, I did.
You know why is he laughing? Because he knows what they're going to end up doing. They're going to nosedive and bow their knee to the Most High God when Jesus is restored. And the earth is restored to its fullness. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, let your kingdom come. What kind of kingdom is it? It's a kingdom of peace, love, and joy. This past week, I normally listen to the news once in a while, trying to catch up on what's happening. And of course, the intense situation in South Carolina. 9 people gave up their lives, including a beautiful senator from that state who happens to be a pastor. They gave the word of life to this young man who abused it. They gave him love. And one woman played dead and told her granddaughter, I believe, to play dead with her so that they wouldn't be killed, and remained on the floor for who knows how long and watched her son try to talk some sense into a deranged young man, and he killed him. How well would you do if you didn't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you at that point? How could you stay dead and make believe that you're dead so that you could come and give glory to God and forgive the young man publicly in front of the whole nation? And there was one lady on CNN, and I'm not going to name her name but she's quite liberal, and she's usually quite opinionated. Get a point? She had tears coming out of her eyes as she was saying, they were justified to hate that man and hate him for all their lives, and they chose to forgive, which doesn't make sense. And she was interviewing a pastor. And the pastor said, but you don't understand Christianity. You don't understand the gift of love that we have in our hearts, which is greater. And by forgiving him, they disarmed him. What he intended to do was he intended to be placed as a leader of white supremacy. And he ended up looking like a rat, because Jesus came through the body of believers and set that man free and disarmed him. He has no value now. The ones that were being looked at is the nature of Jesus Christ being televised throughout the nation and nations. Europe is listening. Asia is listening. Why? I haven't seen this kind of testimony on CNN ever since I've been watching. And they were giving glory to the Lord. Did the Heavenly Father give up his son so that his nature would come into you and I? What's the difference when that woman gave up her son? So that the nature of the Redeemer would be visible to a nation, when she shared that she held nothing against him and forgave him and asked God to bless him. I believe her words were, God bless you. I can just see a vision of the 3 crosses on Calvary. There's one jerk who's full of anger on one side, and another crook on the other. One is repentant. The other says, Jesus, just don't forgive me. You know, don't forget me when you get into your kingdom. Don't forget me. And the Lord responded, you will be with me this day in paradise. You see, I don't like to see tragedy. I don't like to see people lose their lives. But did they really lose their life? No. They just transitioned back into the kingdom of heaven. They didn't lose a heartbeat because their flesh entered into the realm of destruction and corruption. But their spirit man is fully alive in God, and actually their testimony is changing the world. Verse 11,
And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep in your name, in the knowledge of yourself, them whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. I repeat, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep in your nature, in the knowledge of yourself, them whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. Father, I thank you that this truth will permeate every heart that's listening to this message. And that the reality of the real Father of all of us is on the job in the heavens looking down saying, would you just cool it, kids? I'm on the job. And my love will overwhelm the world. My nature is love, peace, and joy. Enjoy it. Walk in it. And love one another because you are one. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
That's all she wrote. Share some hugs with